Chris Gibson, Congressman Chris Gibson, who is leaving, and don't think there isn't a tear in some of our eyes. He's retiring at the end of this year. He did it on his own. He would have been elected, I can tell you, without any question, forever. But he didn't want that. He thought that there should be a limit on your service, and he's been a fierce proponent of term limits. And we have, in fact, discussed that in our last interview, Chris. So let's go to some of the other things that you would see as being important to drain the swamp.
Absolutely. And thank you for the opportunity. I think it's so important to restore faith in our ability to be self-governing. A government of the people, by the people, for the people. We are in need of significant political reform. You hear this everywhere, by the way, and not just, I mean, you hear it in both political parties. You hear it all across the ideological spectrum. Last time we were together, I gave a rather perhaps too lengthy of an explanation for why we needed term limits. Let me move now to campaign finance reform. This system right now is broken. I mean, look, we were always meant to have the spirit of one person, one vote. And when you look at it, you find that there's maybe a couple hundred folks who are billionaires, and they do the overwhelming share of donations to these campaigns. And I can there's no way that you can reconcile that with what the appreciation, what the original intent was for our representative democracy. So here's what I would propose. I don't support public financing. I think that that would be a mistake. Look, I mean, we can all find something we think we should spend more taxpayer dollars on. And I think that providing taxpayer dollars for negative campaigning would be a mistake because, look, 95% of these advertisements are negative. And how can we countenance that when we have schools that need more investment? You know, we have roads and bridges that need refurbishing. We've got national security concerns, any number of different priorities, and we debate these spiritedly. I think that the best way forward is to cap the amount of spending that could be done in on behalf of candidates. And look, we may very well need an amendment for this. Every time we've tried to do campaign finance reform in the past, it's been shred by the Supreme Court. You know, we had campaign finance reform after Watergate, and then we had the Buckley versus Vallejo Supreme Court decision in 76 that said that you cannot do this, this is free speech. Well, then we had Enron, and it was awful, corruption. And so we brought forward again, in this case, we got McCain-Feingold. And then in the wake of that, we saw McCrutchen, Citizens United. So it hasn't withstood the review of the Supreme Court. So I think the way we have to address this is the people. We need a simple amendment that we bring forward, and it says something to the effect of, in view of the spirit of one person, one vote, comma, the Congress shall have the power to regulate federal election campaigns. Now, my critics say, well, you know, they already have that authority, but as I just mentioned, every time we've tried this, it's been thrown out. So I think we do need an amendment.
By a Republican Supreme Court.
Well, I mean, look, these are not, I mean, this is a whole other issue now, and that is the independence of the Supreme Court. I would tell you, Alan, that both political parties have politicized the court, that it's really questionable as to whether or not we have three separate, distinct, and equal branches. Essentially, you know, why did we do this in the first place? Well, because we didn't want the courts to be an extension of the crown. That's what they were. Prior to when we did this, Montesquieu and Spirit of Laws had theorized about this separation of powers and this independent judiciary branch, but we actually did it. And you could argue now that because major presidential candidates require what we would describe as a litmus test. You know, you really question the independence of this. So I don't think it's one party. I think it's actually both parties. But let me get back to campaign finance reform. I think if you have that amendment in place, then you can bring forward this capping of expenditures. Now, look, you'd probably have to use an algorithm because not all media markets are made the same. But there would be an algorithm that would come out for an election cycle that would cap whatever it is for a particular district area. And then you would have a credit. You'd have to go out and get the donations for this. You'd have to go raise the money. But then everything would have to be reported. Every dollar would have to be reported. And then finally, we should prohibit all outside spending, all of it. I mean, you know, we're into this super PACs and everything. Look, that should be prohibited, but it's all outside spending. Here's why. When you walk among our people in these communities and you see all these outside ads, there is a perception among most that this came from the candidates. And of course, the candidates go this kabuki dance and say, well, you know, I didn't actually, you know, I didn't approve it. But at the end of the day, it putrefies this system. There should be accountability for all these ads. And the only way you're going to get that is if the candidate himself or herself actually approve all these messages. So I would do the amendment to the Constitution. I would bring forward, and by the way, everything I've said here, I offered. I mean, in April, if you read the Register Star, which is a paper in Columbia County, in April of 2014, I offered this to my opponent, Sean Eldridge. I said, why don't we set an example for this? Why don't we be the ones to do this? And we can then show the country that this can be done. And I think in the end, this may be required, because I don't know that we can get the political process to do this reform until it's shown to work. Now, you know, Scott Brown and Elizabeth Warren, they did an agreement of a certain kind, but it wasn't as expansive as the one I just laid out. They did an agreement that said, let's reject all outside spending. And I think that's important.
This is in Massachusetts, of course, for the United States Senate.
But what I would say is that's not enough. We have to, I think we need a full complement of provisions that deal with how candidates raise money and spend it as well. So why is this important? It's important at the end of the day because it's, again, part of this effort to restore faith in our ability to be self-governing. Term limits, campaign finance reform. Let me talk about independent redistricting. You know, we have this perception that we choose our representatives when too often, it's actually an illusion. I mean, too often our representatives pick their voters every 10 years after the census and then the reapportionment and the redistricting process, because there's collusion. You know, all the media talks about the partisanship, and certainly that's an issue, but it misses the big story, which is the bipartisan collusion that goes on in the state houses after the census that draw these lines, these gerrymandered lines. And then when the representatives get to Washington, they already know they're not going to face a competitive election in the fall, because they've been gerrymandered to be very, very safe Democrat or Republican.
Except, Chris, in the case of the congressional elections, New York State was subjected to a federal judge drawing the lines.
That's right.
Well, that worked.
Well, it did. You know, we have some of the most competitive seats in the nation because of this independent redistricting that did our lines. And, you know, here's the thing. I mentioned how this dysfunctional process leads to dysfunctional politics and policy is because when they show up in Washington, they're not going to vote for an accommodation because that could get them fired.
Sure.
They know they're not going to face a competitive election in the fall, but they could face a competitive election in the spring,
Which is why, Chris, how come you really think that they'll ever go for a constitutional amendment when it would sacrifice their very incumbency?
Here's why. Because we just had a presidential candidate that made it one of his three big issues. He's going to drain the swamp. He was going to fix a rigged system.
Well, you don't believe he's doing that, do you?
We have to hold him accountable. This is my point, is that you have candidates who run for any office. And as far as restoring faith in our ability to be self-governing, there has to be this element of trust. Candidates run on a certain platform, and then they deliver. And if they don't deliver, they're held accountable for that at the ballot box. So, you know, this is part of the reason why I'm speaking out on this now. It's also part of the reason why I'm going down to New Paltz to do this event with Susan Lerner, because I think now is the time. You have a consensus, regardless of what party one is in, regardless of where they are on the ideological spectrum, that in fact this system is rigged. And I'll tell you, after 6 years serving down there, I believe it is.
Well, it's always great to talk to our very good friend, a man who I'm trying to convince to become a regular part of the WAMC ensemble, Republican Chris Gibson of New York's 19th District, retiring voluntarily. He could win another 1,000 times, but he didn't. And Chris, good luck in your teaching at Williams College and in your writing your new book, which I want to talk about a little bit.